Everyone, this is Dr. Wendy Baer. I'm here today with a podcast production of the wellness program from HMO that we call Our Stories. We are very fortunate today to have Dr. Jacqueline Brown here with us to share her story. Dr. Brown is a member of our HMO department and key physician on the GU team, and we are so glad that she has joined us by way of training in New York and Virginia. Dr. Brown, thanks for being here.
Happy to be here, Dr. Baer. Thank you so much.
We start Our Stories podcast hoping to hear a little bit about how you decided to become a physician, maybe even thinking back to when you were a kid, if you could even imagine yourself becoming a physician, especially in a cancer center?
So for me, it started early. I have no business thinking, you know, when you're 5 years old and you've got your Fisher-Price stethoscope, you've got no business thinking you ought to be a physician. My grandfather was Filipino, came here, and he was a pathologist in rural upstate New York and an acupuncturist. So I had this view where I knew what he did at work, but I didn't go to work with him. And then I saw what he did in the front office of his house, which was the acupuncture clinic. And so I always thought that was medicine, all of medicine. And it is a form. And so I was just enamored with what he did. And that was really my first inspiration that maybe that's something I wanted to do. Sure. My mom is a nurse. So I also saw her throughout my life working in healthcare. And then I wish I had something more interesting to say other than that child, that, you know, that naive childhood dream. I just never really let it go. And things kept building on it. I was good at science. It came easy to me. I really love people. My cup is filled by human interaction, never drained by it. And so things just kept, you know, leading into that. And I went to a very small high school. I did well. It wasn't hard to do well. It's not hard for anyone to do well there. And I went to college. And the only time I really doubted myself, well, other than every day of my life, was I got a 53 and a 59 on my first two chemistry tests in general chemistry. And I thought, I was a big fish in a small pond, and I've got no business being here. And that was really the blip on my radar. With regard to going into medicine, worked through it, eked out a B+ in that class, never looked back, and then had an early, everything was always kind of set. I did an early assurance program with University of Rochester, so I applied at the end of my sophomore year, got in my junior year, got to go to Wales my junior year of college, not having to take the MCAT for 6 months. It was fabulous. So that was the original impetus.
Yeah, that is wonderful on so many levels. I'm delighted to think about a Fisher-Price stethoscope. I think that's so cool, this combination of pathology and acupuncture, and the part you saw was the acupuncture. But maybe even these days, working in cancer care, the part that's more relevant to your life is actually the pathology that we, you know, get from tissues and end up making decisions about treatment based on, you know, obviously having a mom as a nurse and in healthcare is a huge influence. But this idea that you push through, you know, you don't know at the time when you get your chemistry grade, you kind of wonder if you're going to pass chemistry, let alone graduate from college. I had a similar experience with English, but, you know, you persevere and you carry on, and then you keep looking for opportunities and cool Exactly. opportunities like going to Wales and studying abroad and seeing another culture. And then it sounds like you were really aware of knowing yourself, like what worked for you, and being around people and hearing people's stories suited you.
It did. I exactly. And I can't say I always knew myself, as is the case for any of us our whole lives. That's a work in progress. But I have always tried to be introspective about things I want, things I'm scared about, ways I'm vulnerable, and hearing. I thrive on making connections with other people. And when, I don't know, I guess at every step that has been something that just, even day-to-day interactions with people, if I can say, how was your weekend? And we can, instead of just a, hey, how are you? I'm good. Weekend was good. Kids are good. See you later. If I can truly just understand something that happened, or we can connect on something, that was a meaningful interaction in my day with anybody. And so that has always been the case. And just try to be vulnerable and genuine as much as I can to not my own demise at times, but there's a cost to it.
Well, it can be, depending on who you're talking to, and making sure you have some sense of trust in the interaction. But there's a lot written about vulnerability and in the authenticity of the connection you have with someone, allowing for a meaningful connection when you truly share what is on your mind or on your heart at that moment. Exactly. It sounds like that kind of person that you described yourself to be would also be fabulously set up to work in cancer care, because it is such a team operation. I mean, none of us do what we do without each other, whether it's somebody working at the front desk or somebody working in the lab or somebody working in infusion or somebody working answering 50,000 portal messages a day.
Exactly. No team operates without everybody.
Everybody involved. And so when you care about those connections and you care about the people you work with, I think it makes for not only a better experience for the workers, but also for the people receiving care.
And being valued, right? There's lots of, and Dr. Bear, I'm sure you know the literature much better than I do, but one of the things that fights burnout that we all experience, that I experience sometimes, is being valued, right? And knowing that even when you're in the trenches and it's hard and you had a stressful day, that you're valued and your work is important to your colleagues, to your institution. And so I try to approach my teams that same way.
Yeah, absolutely. And in a authentic way, because there's a lot of thank yous maybe that can come across emails and PowerPoint, but really knowing your people allows you to appreciate them in a different way. Yeah. Well, so you've spoken to one of our other questions that we like to ask about what brings you joy day to day, both in work and in your life.
Yeah.
But maybe expanding on your comment about burnout, how do you day to day protect your own well-being and minimize burnout in addition to staying connected and appreciating your team?
Yeah, I again, also a work in progress. I'm not going to hold myself up as a model of work-life balance and all efficiency and all. I'm not where I want to be yet, but my family, my friends, I mean, I've got a 4-year-old at home, and sometimes, you know, when people ask about, hey, what are your hobbies? Mm-hmm. And I hear the most amazing hobbies. A patient yesterday was like, I love tooling around with my 3D printer. And I was like, what a great answer. What a fabulous answer. And if someone asked me, like, Jackie, what are your hobbies? I would say, I manage to get my kid at daycare every day. So I do that. And then I get home and then we feed her. So we get to check that box.
Yeah.
And she watches an episode. I don't know if this is bad parenting, but here it is on the podcast. Watches an episode of Clone Wars with my husband every night. And I'm usually like looming around in the background, folding laundry or something.
Yeah.
She's very into Star Wars right now. Mm-hmm. We do bath. We read a book. She's in bed. I try to work out. I was an athlete in a previous life. I played field hockey in college. I got into the female athlete triad in med school, for better or for worse, and ran a marathon. And I can't do that anymore because I can't go on a 20-mile training run, because that's 3 hours I don't get to spend with my kid on a Saturday after not being with her all week. So it doesn't work for me now, maybe someday. I'm very much a Peloton devotee. I have the bike. I'm lucky enough to have the bike and the tread. So my fleet, it's all in my kitchen, which probably speaks to the need for a bigger house. But I get on, I do, a 30-minute workout most nights of the week, and I feel human again. And so for me, that is one thing that keeps me, and every time I have the same dread of it that everyone else does, or not everyone else, I'm projecting, but every time I feel great, every time I do it. So it's trying to work and exercise, honestly spending time. Weekends are for my family. I get Sunday scaries like many people, and Sunday nights I'm catching up, but Saturday to Sunday, first half of Sunday is we are going out to dinner. We're going to a brewery. We're taking Remy to, you know, whatever's going on. We do brunch most weekend days. And I think we do brunch to celebrate that it's a weekend day and we're all together. So those are the main things. I hope to have more hobbies someday, but for now I try to work out. I love seeing my kid and my husband and fitting friends in.
Yeah.
On the weekends too.
On the weekends. I think you could write a book. I mean, that you really did. You mentioned the highlights, the people that are important to you, and making time for them as you're able. And it may not be every day, but there is dedicated time to look forward to with the people that you care about. You have a schedule that looks at, okay, when are we getting some nutrition? When are we getting some sleep? When are we unwinding? And it may be unwinding with the Clone Wars and Star Wars, which is wildly popular, and on Disney. So I can imagine Halloween is already kind of planned out.
Halloween is my daughter's birthday, and she's going to be Ahsoka. My husband is Darth Maul, and I am Jabba the Hutt. I got this ridiculous suit that has a fan in it to keep it inflated. And so I will have pictures for everyone.
I would welcome a picture, especially of the whole crew. Darth Maul is a little scary for me. But yes, I would welcome the picture. The points that you made around taking 30 minutes for yourself to exercise, I mean, we know in terms of all kinds of health outcomes, not only cancer prevention and control, but in everything that has to do with mental health and mental well-being, that if we can move safely, not maybe always pushing ourselves, you know, super long distances, but to move and to get those 30 minutes in, that you feel better and that it gives you energy to sort of carry on. And certainly sort of sticking with it through different life stages in different ways. I mean, you might've played field hockey at one time and maybe you will one day. Maybe
it's not a thing down here though. Like
not that's as much down here, not yeah. as much, but it's very cool. And for people that haven't looked up what field hockey is, go ahead and spend a minute on YouTube. And
because of Title IX, it's a fabulous way to pay for college. I'll tell you that much.
There you go. There's lots of reasons to stay engaged. So I just appreciate you saying so many things about well-being and working on it. You know, none of us get it all done. You know, sometimes the dinner's a little more nutritious than other times. Sometimes the bedtime is a little earlier than other times, but we get up and we work on it day to day, and sort of recognizing what's important to us and feeds our souls to carry on.
Yeah. My point of reference for work-life balance is my husband is a radiologist. When his shift ends, his work ends, right? Mm-hmm. But my shifts, I don't have shifts and they don't end. Mm-hmm. And so it's a gray area of when do you stop it? And when do you transition to this other part of the pie? Mm-hmm. And I struggle with it. It was a couple months ago, I was closing my laptop. It was maybe like, we were both upstairs in our upstairs living room, and I was closing my laptop and he was like, is your work done? And I turned my head slowly to him in a dramatic way for effect. And I said, my work has not been done in years. What are you talking about? And we laughed about it, but it's because his work ends every day.
Yeah.
And so for me, it's realizing that if I'm going to have a sustainable career, because I derive plenty of meaning from my work. I have meaning in spades. Like the patients we take care of every day and my team and what we're trying to do on a day-to-day basis, right? We all want meaning in our work and I've got that. Yeah. So that's a check. Yeah. And for me, it's how do I keep the meaning in bounds so I can experience other meaning? Absolutely. I'm always thinking about that.
Absolutely. I think you brought up so many important points. There's different people have different models with their work. And sometimes when we live with those other people, we have to figure out how our two models can coexist. Some people just are wired to be able to disconnect and separate themselves from one project and do another in a way that looks a little more maybe abrupt than the rest of us. Maybe need a transition period and a little space before we go from one activity to another. But maybe what signals for you the end of the workday is the laptop gets closed. That, okay, now I'm closing the laptop and this is my chance for today. I will be back at it. You know, I will be back at managing all that is cancer care and cancer research too. Yes. So I know you stay rather busy in multiple spaces and teaching as well.
Yeah.
So we just have to kind of close the laptop for this day and think about getting back to it the next day in a sustainable way, which I actually like that phrase for us as humans, as much as for the environment, and that what can we do to take care of ourselves so that we can sustain?
And how do I, I'm 2 years in, but that our careers are going to be different. I'm slowly learning that they morph as time goes on, and I couldn't possibly call my shot today. You can have an idea, you can set yourself up, but it's already changing in ways that I didn't know it would 2 years ago. So it just, it reminds me what I don't know. Mm-hmm. And so all I can do is try to fill my day with, even when I'm really busy and running around, I'm trying to be more cognizant of, not that I'm great at saying no, I'm not, a lot of us are not, because you want to be helpful and a good team player and available, but how can I start to tailor that day so that, you know, the things that I'm working on at work are also things that bring me joy.
Yeah.
I'm not great at that because I like to be helpful. But I also want to not look back 10 years from now and think I do all this stuff I hate. And I don't. I don't think I'm on that path, which mm-hmm. is good. But I
Because you're paying attention. You're mindful of your own experience and you're mindful of what suits you, and that'll help you not go down that path. But, you know, certainly the young girl with her Fisher-Price stethoscope, as well as that college kid in chemistry, you know, you can morph, as you said.
Yeah.
You can even morph into Jabba the Hutt, which is hard for me to imagine you as Jabba the Hutt. But costumes
and my daughter keeps asking, she's like, how are you going to be slimy? And I'm like, you're asking for so much. Like, I have an inflatable suit, but sure, we'll work on it.
I have a feeling, Dr. Brown, you'll figure out how to be a little slimy next Tuesday, just for her. Well, it is such a pleasure to get to talk to you. I hope that our listeners enjoy our conversation. And if they're interested in participating in the Our Stories podcast, please reach out to me, Dr. Wendy Bear, or Dr. Caroline Peacock. Have a lovely day, everyone.